Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Elise Glink Show. We're live on Sundays here on News Talk WSB. The number, happy Memorial Day, everybody. It's nice to be able to spend a holiday weekend with you. 404-872-0750. We're live today. I mean, everybody's live, right? On Memorial Day, but I'm actually here working and thinking about our troops and those who have given their lives, memorializing them. Tomorrow, my son Michael is playing in the annual Memorial Day parade in our town, which takes all of 10, 12 minutes, and he is fighting me every step of the way because he'd rather sleep in like every 14-year-old boy, right? So we're taking your questions and calls today, 404-872-0750. And for those of you tuning in for the first time driving through Atlanta, my name is Elise Glink, and I am a nationally syndicated real estate writer. My work appears in 85 or so newspapers around the country, including the LA Times and our very own Marietta paper here in Atlanta. I've written 13 books about money and real estate and business, and my best-selling book, it's funny because people keep tuning into it, is called 100 Questions Every First-Time Homebuyer Should Ask. I've been hosting this show for more years than I can remember. I think it's maybe we're in our 12th year. I'd have to ask Crystal Wheeler, our indefatigable producer, how many years that is. Maybe it's 11, maybe it's 12. And I've been filling in here on WSB for Clark Howard for 15 years, which is actually hard to remember. And I think tomorrow is the first Memorial Day I will not actually be filling in for Clark. So I will be going out to the parade and hope you'll be doing that as well. Today we're going to talk a couple of different things that have been on my mind lately. I'm going to start with this idea that I have that real estate is actually an investment, even the house you live in. And I know we've talked on the show about how real estate is the place that when you buy a personal residence, that you sink roots into the community, you raise your family, you do all these things there. And so sometimes you're not supposed to think about real estate as an investment. And it isn't the kind of investment, and we'll get to this later, the kind where you're actually trying to make money at it, right? But it isn't the kind of investment like Facebook, right? Facebook, everybody's so mad about Facebook. Did you buy shares of Facebook stock? I didn't. I just thought I couldn't. Not when the valuation was so much higher than Google. But a lot of times we think about real estate not as an investment, or we think it's an investment that we're destined to make money at, that we expect to make money at it. It's this expectation that we have, and you saw it so often in the early aughts, as they call them, like 2001, 2000, 2001, 2000 to 2006, 2007 in some neighborhoods. The expectation was you were going to buy this piece of property and immediately flip it 2 months later for like a 40% increase. I used to have a producer that was buying lots in a vacation community in North Carolina. And she's like, oh, today my lot is worth 10% more than last week. I'm like, that just doesn't happen. And then she wanted to buy down in the coast of Florida in a town that has been so much of the epicenter of what has happened. And she said, oh, yeah, when the people built it and they bought it from the developers, it went up 50%, and then they sold it, and then it went up another 50%, and I'm sure if I buy it and then I flip it, it'll be worth another 50%. And I was like, that's not how the math works, right? You can't have this expectation. And so Sam and I really talked to her about that. And fortunately, we got her off the horse because she would have been the last one. She would have been holding a $1.8 million two-bedroom, two-bath bag. And it would have been a disaster. Personally, wipe them out. Real estate is an investment. It's not like you're putting money in the bank. It's not like you're going to get a guarantee of doubling or tripling it. You can lose money. You have lost money on your real estate if you bought it any time since 2002. In some parts of Atlanta, if you bought your house in 1998, you've lost money. In some parts of Atlanta, I'm going way back here to the year my son Alex was born in 1995. If you bought real estate, you might be breaking even. You probably have lost a little bit of money. Real estate is an investment. Even when you're not trying to make money with it, even when you're not buying it to rent it out, to fix it, to flip it, a big apartment building, a small three flat, whatever it is, the money that you put down, you have to be more careful about what you do with it and more thoughtful about it than the amount of time you spend buying a new car. It's crazy to me. There have been studies that have shown that people spend more time thinking about the color their new car is going to be than in making a decision that costs 10 times as much as the car. Really? It's crazy. What happens when you forget that real estate is an investment is you get fooled. You get fooled in thinking that you're smarter than everybody else and that you are going to make money no matter what happens. And then you get entitled. And then you don't understand why what you expect to be given to you is not being given to you. I have a little story I want to share with you. And feel free to call in on this, folks. 404-872-0750. If I can help you out, Memorial Day, I would love to solve your problems for you. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Let me tell you this little story. So earlier this week, I did Money Watch has this weekly Ask the Expert live chat, right? And so I did that show, and then my friend Jill Schlesinger, who's Jill on, at Jill on Money on Twitter, and she hosts her own little, it's not so little, it's in 60 Markets, financial talk show called Jill on Money. Jill called and said, would you come on the show? And I said, sure. While we were on Ask the Experts, I think it was Ask the Experts, she says to me, I have a question that's come in. It's from this woman, we'll call her Joan. I don't know, because she was reading it off the chat room. And she says, Joan bought her house for $500,000. I don't know where Joan lives. And remember, Joan is not her real name. So, Joan in question marks. She's like Ann Landers, right? Like, Dave says. Anyway, Joan bought her house for $500,000. And then Joan's house fell in value because she bought it in 2006 at the height of the market for wherever she lives. Now it's worth $350,000. And she finds out through who knows how, that the bank is willing to do a short sale and accept $350,000 because they know that's what it's actually worth. And so she said, what I want to know is how can I get the bank to sell me the house for $350,000? Joan, baby, you owe $500,000. Why would you think the bank is just going to hand you a $150,000 check, essentially, by writing down your principal balance and remortgaging the house at $350,000? When you're not late, you can pay the mortgage. You have plenty of assets. Joan, really? You can't understand why the bank is just not going to give you a $150,000 haircut? They're not going to put $150,000 in singles and fives on a silver platter, and they're going to hand it over to you and say, Joan, thank you so much for agreeing to continue to make your mortgage payments? No, they're not going to do that. No, they're not going to sell your house to your son or your sister or your brother or your mother or your aunt or your uncle, grandparents or grandchildren. No, they are not going to make it easier for you to not pay them back because you can afford it. But your expectation, Joan, that you somehow are entitled to this because everybody else is getting this break is exactly what's wrong with where we are today. This expectation that people have, that you have, that while everybody else is getting theirs, where's mine? You can't have investments that are no risk. When you have investments that are no risk, they're not called investments. Investments have a certain piece of them that's risky, like Facebook, right? Everybody thought Facebook was a slam dunk at, what did it start out at, $38 a share, a valuation of, that was so high, they discussed it in Barron's Magazine this weekend, that so high that Facebook would have to outperform what Google has done with profit over the next 5 years. And even with all of that, it would still be worth like $17 a share, not $38 a share. Unlikely. Real estate is an investment. And you have to change your perspective about where you put your money and how careful you think about that. You definitely have to be thoughtful. It's just too valuable. The dollars we have are so scarce right now. Everybody's worked so hard. There's so many people for whom this recession, this great recession, is nowhere near over. And 17 million people are underwater, meaning that their houses are worth less than the mortgages they owe. And the banks are worried. And we are in such a fragile place. And we're trying so hard to get through this great recession. And what we need is for all of us to pull together. You know, you're going to have to go through foreclosure. You're going to have to do a short sale. You're going to have to just keep making your payments until everything else has been sopped up over the next 2 years. So then prices are going to start to rise and you're going to be back to where you were. That's how this is going to work. It's not going to happen if everybody just says, where's my silver platter? 404-872-0750. Paul joins us on the line from Sandy Springs. Hey, Paul, happy Memorial Day.
Same to you.
All right.
Have a question for you.
Sure.
What's going on with the townhome and condominium market in Sandy Springs?
So what's going on is that, well, tell me what you're experiencing first. Are you seeing a lot of foreclosure signs, or are you seeing properties getting snapped up? Because there's a couple of different things happening in different parts of the metro area.
Well, I bought on the corner of Roswell Road and Abernathy and last year.
Okay. Did you buy a foreclosure?
Well, the whole project had gone into foreclosure, and I bought it at the bottom of the market, I saw.
All right.
And now they're telling me that it's worth 39% less than what I paid for it.
Wow, in 1 year.
In 1 year.
That sounds like a bad investment.
Yeah.
Gosh. Did you pay cash for it?
Well, unfortunately, yes.
All right, and did you plan to stay there a while?
Unfortunately, yes.
When you bought it, that was what your plan was? Unfortunately, yes, I'm going to stay here?
Right, but now it's worth so much less than what I paid for it, I'm thinking about bailing out.
You don't want to bail out at the bottom, Paul. Your fear.
Well, I bought at the bottom.
Right, but you were wrong.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I guess you were wrong. I have a hard time imagining that your property's dropped another 39% in 1 year, unless they just simply haven't sold the rest of the units, and now those have been priced down 39% in order to make them sell. That's entirely possible.
That's part of it.
Okay. What's the other part?
Well, I think there's just not a demand for it, for townhomes. I mean, we're talking 2,100 square feet. We're talking three bedrooms, two and a half baths, and a study.
Sounds
and
great.
It's just not what I thought it was.
Right, but you weren't going to flip it around anyway, right?
No, I wasn't.
So you haven't really lost anything yet. What you've lost is the confidence that you made a good decision. And I don't think the jury's in yet. I don't think the jury's in that you made a bad decision, Paul. I think we don't know yet what kind of a decision you made. But real estate as an investment is not like a share of stock. This is not like the bounce back of the stock market back to 14,000 in, you know, 4 years. This is a longer-term investment. Real estate has always moved out of lockstep. And the danger...
I got an appraisal that says it's only worth $180,000 now.
Why did you get an appraisal? Just to really feel bad?
Yep.
Oh, well, don't do that again. I don't want you feeling bad about this because we don't know. You bought it at a specific period of time for a specific reason. Let that play out. And in 5 or 7 years, you said you were going to live here a long time. You must have bought it because you thought you'd enjoy living there. So enjoy yourself. Take a step back. Don't pay attention so closely to everything else that's going on there. Enjoy living in your home. Don't overimprove it. I don't want you to go there. But I want you to enjoy living there through the time and that you could see into the future, the 5, 7, or 10 years that you were planning to live there, because life is going to look very different in 5 to 10 years when you come to be ready to sell. And at that point in time, you and I can have a discussion about whether you made a smart investment or a poor investment. But right now, you absolutely cannot make that call. And if you think about it, you're going to be up all night making yourself miserable and crazy, and you're going to go, oh, I lost all my money. You haven't lost anything yet. So what you should do is work on getting all your friends to buy these properties at the low, low prices. They'll go off the market, and the values will start to normalize, and you're going to feel a whole lot better. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Klink. It's 22 minutes past the hour this Memorial Day weekend. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
28 minutes past the hour on the Elise Klink Show. Thanks for joining me this Memorial Day weekend. I hope you have some big plans in store. We are grilling up a store here in the Klink household. Last night, we had my mom and my sisters and their families over for a little early birthday party for my niece and celebrating son Michael's graduation from 8th grade. Got two high schoolers now. I don't know about you. And then tonight, more friends and barbecued salami, one of my all-time favorites, as you know, from the annual block party. All right, we're going to take more of your calls and talk a little bit more about banks and lending and how real estate is an investment, no matter why you buy it. 404-872-0750, here to help here on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back to the Elise Klink Show. We are live. I'm live on Sunday mornings here, 11 to 1 on News Talk WSB. The number 404-872-0750. And I meant to give you my website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. On thinkglink.com are, I'm going to be conservative here, but maybe like 8,000 pages of information, all free. All for you about all the topics we talk about all the time in real estate. The money part of real estate, the debt, the credit, how to think about real estate. And online at Amazon, so you can go to, if you just type my name and Amazon into a search engine, any search engine, pick one, anyone, it'll take you to my page on Amazon. And if you click on Kindle or ebook version, I think it says Kindle, we've uploaded 5 ebooks on investing in real estate. These are, for those of you who attended our, we did a couple of workshops on how to profit from foreclosures and invest in real estate, and I had on some really amazing guests. We created these ebooks, it's like 125 pages total, that cover questions that you're always asking me. Questions like, do I have to have an LLC? And what kind of a team should I put together when I buy real estate? So we put all of those questions and answers and information together, and we put them online for 99 cents a piece. I wanted everybody, you, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, all of you to be able to afford to buy these and get this great information from all of our experts. If you want to buy all of them in one package, it's $2.99. And I was very pleased to see this week that we'd actually sold about 20 of them. And when I told Sam, man, he was so excited. You think we sold 20 ebooks, but they're there for you on Amazon. You can download them super easy, but I wanted you to have this great information because we don't always get to that kind of stuff, the nitty-gritty, the nuts and bolts of it. We don't always get to it on the show, but there is a place that you can go, and now that I've seen that people are going and you're going there and you're buying it, I'm going to upload more 99-cent ebooks because we had them all in the old ThinkLink store, and now we're just going to transfer them over. It's just really exciting. And then we also put out my best-selling ebook, The Clutter Collector, and we've sold hundreds of copies of that ebook. I think it's also 99 cents. So if you want to understand how to organize everything in your house, what you need to keep, what you don't need to keep, The Clutter Collector is the ebook for you. You can go there and get it. 404-872-0750. 38 minutes past the hour. Prize pack later the show, which is very exciting for Memorial Day weekend. Let's go back to the phone. Bill joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hey, Bill, how can I help you today?
Hey, well, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The question I had is, about 20 years ago, I bought a house on Lake Ackworth. I paid about $34,000 for it. And, of course, I sat on that house seeing dollar signs while the housing market got really good. And I saw dollar signs. Of course, then the bottom fell out. And I probably could...
You're not seeing dollar signs anymore, are you? You're seeing, like, numbers with parentheses around them.
Well, I could probably break even on the house right now.
Have you enjoyed this house for 20 years?
Yeah, I definitely did. So, I mean, I don't regret getting that at all.
All right.
But then, across the street, also on the lake, the house went into foreclosure. A house that was bought about the same time as mine for $78,000, it went into foreclosure for $40,000. I also paid cash for that one also.
So you bought the house across the street too?
Right. So I've got both houses now. I paid cash for both. So I paid $40,000 for the one and $38,000 for the original house.
Okay.
And with your expertise and the people you hang around, in your opinion, how long will I have to sit on these houses before the housing market turns around? And do you think if it does turn around, will it be like it was 18, 20 years? Or
all right, let me ask you a question, Bill. At the height of the market, whenever that was for your corner of Lake Ackworth, what do you think your houses were worth?
About $75,000 to $80,000.
So maybe twice what they are now, right? So together, between the two houses, you're talking about $80,000.
Right.
And you've had these properties, at least one of them, for 20 years, 20 years of enjoyment.
Right.
So the problem that I'm having... or that you're having, this is your problem, actually. So here, and you and everybody else who's listening to this show. The problem is you're thinking about what you've lost since the height of the market. And this was a bubble. It was fake. But when you measure yourself against the high, you just are going to feel bad all the time. Because you keep thinking, when am I going to get back to that place? And what I think you should be thinking about is what great deal you paid for. So you bought these two properties, $34,000 and $40,000. I can't believe you can even buy a house on a lake that you could live in for $34,000. But hence, on my Money Watch columns, when I say, what can you buy for $1,500? And there's actually a house sitting in the picture. It's kind of amazing to me. So you bought these two lake houses. I want you to measure from the point of purchase, not the point of this mythical bubble. Because you're just going to feel bad. And what I want to do is I want you to feel good that you have made good investments.
Well, I don't feel bad about the situation. And my ultimate goal, I actually drive a tractor trailer, so I'm working today also, like yourself.
Awesome.
But my ultimate goal is to sell these houses for a profit. And the reason I want to sell them for a profit is I want to have enough money to buy a house on the ocean. I want to move from the lake to the ocean.
You are a water guy. Are you a Pisces?
I'm a Libra.
Mm. Well,
but so, you know, I'm just wondering how... when.
So how much money... All right, so let's talk about this, because there's lots of ocean property that you could buy today for less than $78,000 or $74,000. Right? There's a lot of ocean property that's out there that's available. The question is, where do you want to go and what is it going to cost you? So if you're asking me when your combined $74,000 worth of property is going to be worth $500,000 so you can turn it around and buy in Destin, the answer is never. Not in your lifetime.
I'm not asking when. I'm asking you when you think the height of the market will be. 5 years, 10 years.
But what I'm trying to say to you, Bill, is if it's the height of the market here, it's the height of the market on the ocean as well.
Right.
If the property in the ocean is twice what this property is now, it could be three times at the high for what this property is. It just depends where you're buying. So if you could trade even today, you sell these two properties for $80,000 and you buy a property for $80,000, does that help you achieve your dream? Are you there? Have you won?
I understand what you're saying.
So it's irrelevant how long I think it could take for it to come back, because you don't have in your mind what number you actually need. And you're trying to hit a number, and you may not need to hit that number.
Yeah,
so I want you to rethink. I want you to rethink it. If you said to me, Elise, I need $150,000 to buy the house of my dreams on the ocean in a place that I want to be, $150,000, and I'd say, Bill, you're halfway there. Sell your houses for cash, right? Sell them for cash. Go get a mortgage for $80,000, which should be totally affordable, and go live your dream.
Right.
So you have to think about what the goal is, and then we can talk about steps to take to get there. But you've got cash in these houses. You are not beholden to an underwater mortgage or some lender who's breathing down your neck and you're not going to make payments. I mean, you've got two lake properties. And you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking there's some family that wants to be like the Kennedys and have some sort of a family camp. And two houses across the street from each other are just enough distance to keep everybody talking to each other for the next 30 years. And you're going to find some family that's going to love and appreciate these properties the way that you have for the last 20 years. And you're going to go on and you're going to start your new life and build a whole new dream for yourself. And that's what I think you should focus on.
Okay. Well, that sounds good.
You going to let me know what happens?
Excuse me?
You're going to let me know what happens. I want to know what happens. I want to know how the end of the story turns out. You're going to have to call back.
Oh, okay. I'll definitely do that.
All right, Bill. Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day to you, and thank you.
You're welcome. 45 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. D is on the line from Dunwoody. D, is that your name?
Yes.
Perfect. Welcome to the program. What can I do for you today?
Well, I actually want to start getting into the real estate market as a real estate agent.
What are you doing now? Do you have a job now?
Yes, I work right now, but I'm also a college student. So I'm still kind of young, but I guess I still see a lot of potential in real estate. I'm a finance student, so investing is kind of like, I like that kind of stuff. So
I gotta tell you, I am so excited that you are at the beginning of your career. You're still in college. How old are you? Are you 21 yet?
Yes, I'm 21.
So you're right. You're at the age of majority, and you see a future for yourself in a place and a time where I think some real estate fortunes, lifelong fortunes, are going to be made. So I think you're thinking about this in exactly the right way.
Thank you. Other people think I'm crazy. They're like, what? Why?
You know what? When I announced that I was going to be a freelance writer for a living, like several decades ago, people thought I was crazy too. And you know what? You got to follow your dream. If you don't follow your dream in this world, what is the point? In fact, I was looking at the New York Times this morning, and some guy was saying he just quit his job. He makes $100,000+ a year as a data programmer, and he's hated every minute of his job, and he's leaving it to go to nursing school.
Wow.
And he's following his dream, and everybody thinks he's crazy too. But you know what? Every day you wake up in your life and you're not happy with what you do for a living, it's hell, right? It's just not fun. And so
right.
I want you to be engaged and love every minute of what you do. And you know when the best time is to take all this risk? It's when you're 21 years old and you don't have a wife and kids and you don't owe anybody anything. I assume you have some college debt. Maybe not. Hopefully not too much.
No, not too much at all.
And when you get to make this decision, not beholden to anybody, that is the first adult decision of your life. Because in your life, everybody's going to tell you no, no, no all the time. And it gets harder and harder to say yes to yourself and to your dreams. So I love that you've got this dream.
Great. What's the first step besides getting a license and, you know, taking the exam and all that stuff? I mean, what should I look at? Should I look at commercial, residential?
Well, get your license.
Okay.
First thing is you get your license, and I love that you're getting this degree in finance. That's fantastic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the next thing I want to do is make sure that you apprentice yourself in a real estate office, preferably a place that does commercial and residential sales. And you want to apprentice yourself so you really understand how the mechanics work.
Okay.
The potential for income will be bigger with commercial property,
okay.
But the potential, the steadiness of it, will be bigger for residential.
Okay.
Because more people buy houses than businesses renting big office space.
Right.
So you could either set yourself up and focus on, I'm just going to focus on like young entrepreneurs who need some space, and I'm going to work on this kind of stuff. I'm going to make my connections. And then when they do are successful, they'll want to buy houses from me, too. I'm like, you could do it that way. But I think you should find an office that will allow you to apprentice and kind of see what goes on. And ideally, you want to be the attach yourself to one of the top brokers in the office, because what you will see will just be mind-blowing. The way they operate their business, manage people, manage the technology, and you could bring a lot to the table because these brokers are usually older. They're not as tech-friendly.
Right.
And you're going to be able to bring that to the table along with a finance background. They're going to find you really useful. And when you get to be really useful, they're going to show you all their secrets.
Great.
And you're going to love this. And it's going to spark ideas in you. So take good notes. Pay attention. Because this is where the game of life really begins for you. And you are going to love every minute of it. And there will be some stumbles, and there's going to be some obstacles, and there's going to be lots of people who say, you can't, you can't, you can't. And I'm here to tell you that if you can dream it, you can do it. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glenk. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at ThinkGlenk.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
55 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glenk Show this Memorial Day. Happy Mem Day, everybody. So glad you could join us here. 404-872-0750. Taking your calls. Herb joins us on the line. Hey, Herb. Let's see.
Enjoy your show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Glad you could be with us today. What's going on?
I'm getting ready to sell my house. I've had it appraised, and even in this down market, I frankly am delighted with the appraisal.
Great. Wait. You may be the first person who's called this show in a year who said they're happy with their appraisal.
I was stunned when it came in.
All right.
But my realtor is telling me that the appraised value is really the ceiling for an asking price because the market is so low. I'm willing to sell it for the appraised value, but in this bracket housing, the sales commission is like the purchase of two cars, not two car payments, but two cars.
Uh-huh.
Is it reasonable to take the appraised value and add in a portion of what I would pay as a sales commission?
No.
No. Why not?
Because that's not how it works. So the appraisal is the total price.
Okay.
And what you could do, though, is say, let's say if the appraisal is $200,000, you could price the home to sell at $217,000.
Uh-huh.
And then see what happens. But the house will never, if the appraisal is $200,000 and they need 80% financing,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to get a loan for more than $160,000.
Sure.
So they're going to have to come to the table with more cash.
Mm-hmm.
And that just may or may not be reasonable. But you, of course, you can price it wherever you want, but I think your agent is actually giving you honest advice here. And I understand how you feel because you're like, hey, why should I take the hit on all that? I'm taking a huge hit. But this is what happens with investments sometimes. I mean, sometimes they go down and they go way down.
Yeah.
And so you're just trying to get out of it. The good news is that it doesn't sound like you're underwater.
Oh, not at all. Not at all.
That's really good news. Remember that wherever you buy, are you going to buy next?
No. I already have another home.
You have another home. Okay, because most people, if you sell low and you're in the same area, you're going to buy low as well.
Sure.
So you make it back on the other side.
Understand. Well, thanks for the advice, Elise. I'm glad I called.
I'm glad you did, too. I'm sorry I don't have better news for you, Herb. I hope you have a happy, happy Memorial Day weekend, and thanks for listening to the show. I'm going to call it 58 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. I'll be back with more News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back to the Elise Glink Show. I am live on Sundays, 11 to 1, here on News Talk WSB. Our number here, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're live. It's Memorial Day, and we're actually live here in the studio, and there are lines open, and I would be delighted to help you out today. Website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. We have a free weekly newsletter, and if you don't sign up for it, you are missing out on some really cool stuff, like the fact that now we're selling ebooks on Amazon in addition to my regular book, Buy, Close, Move In, and 100 Questions Every First-Time Homebuyer Should Ask. You can actually go online and buy ebooks from Elise on Amazon, which is kind of cool. And this week, which was our first week, we actually sold a whole bunch, like 20 or something. So we're happy to have you there. And if you haven't checked out my Equifax Finance blog in a while, I think you will be really excited to see a couple of things. One is that, and I don't know if you'll remember, but a couple of months ago, we had my good friend Julie Stav on the show. She's the investment broker lady, and she was talking all about how to buy and sell stocks. And we had so many calls about that. Everybody just really had some, she just gets it, right? And she's kind of wacky, and she's got so much good information, thoughtful. She came on the show, it was a huge hit, and she's now on Equifax as well with a Spanish site. So if you know somebody who speaks Spanish, wants to get information, she just joined Equifax. And, of course, we have our Equifax Finance blog and our family plan. This week in my weekly newsletter, we talked about five ways to save money on Memorial Day weekend. So there's all kinds of fun stuff going on. ThinkLink and Money Watch, CBS News, Equifax, and I had a story run on Yahoo this week. So if you want to be in on the know, you're going to have to sign up for the free weekly newsletter at thinklink.com. So we talked last hour about what's going on with real estate and how real estate is such an investment. And this week, of course, we saw mortgage interest rates drop again to another low. Only the 30-year, though. The 15-year is not really moving. And there was news this week also about how the HARP 2.0 program, which has been really slow to get up and going, right? This was supposed to be up and running the last quarter of last year. Now it's the first quarter of this year. And it is showing more of a return. We did see, 180,000 people get a HARP 2.0 loan refinance. This is for people who are underwater with their mortgages versus half of that the last quarter of last year. So that's good. I don't know if it's going to be great, but there's so much anger right now at the banks. And I understand where this anger is coming from. I mean, it's easy to be angry at a huge monolith that earns $4 billion or loses $3 billion, right? It almost doesn't even make sense. But if you have to know one thing about the banks, and I believe this with every bone in my body. If we don't have a strong banking system in this country, we will never again make America great. That's it. You have to have a strong banking system, because anytime you want to do anything, you want to buy a house, you want to buy investment property, you want to buy a car, you want to start a business, you want to go to school, you want to do all these things in your life, and your expectation is that there will be money there to do it. And when there's money, your other expectation, your next level of expectation, is that the interest rate you pay is going to be reasonable, as in 3.87%, which, by the way, is not reasonable. It is so beyond low reasonable that, you know, if you could go out and get that money today, go ahead and do it. But this expectation that we have a banking financial system that you could build a life on, you could build a business on, you can build a future with. That is so deeply ingrained in the American psyche that I don't really know what we would do if we didn't have one. Oh, wait, I do. It's called Spain or Greece. Spain and Greece are in such bad shape. Greece is 5 years now into a recession. That means every quarter their economy contracts, and not just small amounts. Spain, the largest bank this week, got nationalized. That means the government said, we're going to give you guys $24 billion and take you over. And the other four top banks, or the five top banks, are also in deep doo-doo. People there want to get a loan to build their business, and they can't. Banks will not give them a loan, even if they have a successful, thriving business, and that forces them to shut down their business and fire people. In this country, without a strong banking system, and you can be as mad as you want to be at Bank of America or Wells Fargo or Chase or Citi or any of the other big banks, you can be mad that they charge a lot of fees, and you could be mad because you don't like what their required minimums are for your checking account, and you could be mad that you don't get a free checking account anymore. There are lots of reasons to be mad at big banks. But if we don't have big banks, we're sunk. We're sunk in this country. Now, by the same token, this is not to excuse the banks from good customer service, which they should have excellent customer service, and it doesn't excuse them for what went on in the mortgage banking crisis and the foreclosure crisis, and they're part of that. But we have to get over our anger, too. It's easy to be angry. It's not as easy to get to a place where everything becomes more productive, and it has to go on both sides. And so I'm encouraged by this idea that HARP 2.0 might be working a little bit. I'm encouraged by that because I know one thing for sure, that until we process all of these foreclosures and all of these short sales, which could be another 2 to 4 million properties over the next 2 years, until all of those get processed and pushed through the system, everybody else, President Obama calls us the responsible homeowners, we continue to suffer. And we suffer because our property prices, like, you know, our callers today, you know, all of our callers today, we're talking about property prices and how their property prices have gone down. I mean, Paul started the show, bought on Roswell Road in Abernathy, and in a year they tell him his property's worth 39% less than he paid. And he's like heartbroken. Why is it like that? Because there are more foreclosures in his property, and they couldn't sell the ones that were there, and so the price had to get dropped in order to push those through. And he feels bad, and he thinks he made a bad investment, and my feeling is we don't know yet if he made a good investment or a bad investment. He's not going to know till it's time to sell, and until then, he could stay up all night worrying that he made a really bad investment, or he can say, I'm not going to think about this for the next 4 to 5 years because it doesn't matter. That isn't what I did. He paid cash, by the way, so he doesn't, I don't know. We didn't ask if he's mad at his bank or he's not mad at his bank. But this idea that we wouldn't have a strong financial system, do you know what? Let me give you a sense of what that might look like in the real world. Mexico. Okay, so you go to Mexico and you want to buy a house, and not only is there three times the paperwork, but the interest rate might be 18 to 22%, and that's if you have perfect credit for whatever credit is worth in that country. Brazil is trying to set up a U.S.-style credit system, except that the way people buy stuff in Brazil is completely different than the way we buy stuff. And so FICO is down there, and the big banks are down there, and the credit reporting bureaus are trying to get in, and everybody's trying to get into Brazil because of all these people who are there who want to buy things, and they have some sort of a credit model. You want to buy something, and the interest rate is like five times what it is here. The world looks different, and the way people buy things and big purchases, cars and apartments and houses, townhomes, investment property, all of that is so different from our experience here. And your expectation that it's going to be the same is, you don't know what you're talking about, right? It's different. And so our expectation, our whole national agenda, the way that we view our economy, all of this rests on the foundation of a strong financial system. And if we don't have a strong financial system, again, we're sunk. All that stuff we want to do, all the dreams that we dream, all of the futures that we envision for ourselves, up in a puff of smoke. You can't be mad at the banks for making money. They're commercial enterprises. This is what they do. Bank of America, I think, has something like $200 billion in capitalization. It's just sitting there. Maybe that's Chase. You know, all these big banks, they're required to have a huge, huge amount of cash. That's so when they take risks, as banks are wont to do, although you hope they don't take really stupid, crazy risks, there's cash to back it up. And more cash is being required on the world stage. All banks are going to have even more cash. They're going to make them, and that's fine. We want a strong banking system. We need it. We're never going to be great without it. 404-872-0750 this Memorial Day weekend. Jacob joins us on the line from Canton. Hi, Jacob. Happy Memorial Day.
Hello, Ms. Blake. Thank you for taking my call.
Happy to help out today. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a question. I want to buy a home, but it won't be for another 12 months. I've gone through a divorce, and I just want to know what steps do I need to start doing to start putting the roadmap toward buying a home.
So you got a divorce. How's your credit?
My credit score is it's in the low to mid sixes. A lot of what is on my credit will come off once our divorce, the paperwork is completed, and they'll be able to disseminate my debt to income ratio, because a lot of it right now ties in with me and her.
So let's,
and a lot of it will fall off. So I'm trying to, I've gone to what Credit Karma as Clark has suggested, and gone to look at what I need to do to separate what's mine and what's hers to go forward.
How's that going, this whole separation thing? Because it sounds like it's actually not going all that well.
It's not. It's just, well, I'm hindered also because I'm a junior. So I get it from all ends, me and my father being a senior and having to...
Oh, when you said a junior, I thought, what does he mean by that? I thought you were like junior in age to her, you're a junior in college. I didn't know.
Yeah. No, ma'am, but I still...
So you're getting confused. You guys, the whole naming thing is working against you.
It always has. I show having a credit card when I was 13 years old, so that tells you, you know, 30 years later, I've still got that card stuck to my account somewhere. But it's not, it's just more of when I actually went to trade in my truck that we both have, and that's when my good high school friend of mine who's a car dealer explain to me what the debt-to-income ratio is, why the banks look at you and say, well, you're trying to go for a third vehicle on one salary. This, he kind of walked me through that part with the truck and with getting rid of this.
Listen, so you're getting, what you're trying to do is separate two lives.
Yes, ma'am.
Your credit is the least of it.
Okay.
The separating of the lives, the emotional baggage. Do you guys have kids?
No.
So that's all good. That's
right.
Good because you don't have to deal with the children on top of it. But you're separating two lives that have been entwined financially. And
right.
Whether you've been married a year or 20 years, once those fingers of financial ties start to intertwine with each other, it's just going to take some time. And so I think you're smart to give yourself a year to try and separate this stuff out. And I would only say to you, in a year, I don't think mortgage interest rates are going to be much higher than they are today. I don't think property prices are going to be much higher than they are today. So there's plenty of opportunity. Take the time to really unwind every little piece that you have with your life with this woman.
Right.
And try not to stay awake at night thinking about it, because it's going to happen naturally. It takes time.
Right. We've been separated for six. Our divorce and everything's been through for 6 months. So I've gone through the five processes of grieving, healing, hating, so on and so forth. So I'm clear
That's
with what
great.
I need to do. I'm just more.
But
of,
this is just the end of it. This is like the last. This is now you've gotten to the financial part of it.
Right. The reason why is the independence that I go on, but I want to go back and go make my plan, my map. What do I need to do? Do I need to call? My loan would more than likely go through USAA is who I would go through.
So let me, Jacob, let me say that what you will need is cash and credit. And all you should focus on right now is saving up your money for the cash side of it that you'll need for a down payment, and working on dismembering this financial involvement that you have with her on every single level. And as long as she's willing to work with you, I mean, that's really where you're going to want to go. It's just going to take time. But I would start thinking about where you want to live, where you, what kind of home you want to live in, what kind of budget you're going to be able to afford, what FHA program you might qualify for, because with the low to mid 600s, you'd really want to see that up by closer to 700s. There's so many things that you're going to want to see and do, and that's really just where it starts, with a dream for the future. 404-872-0750. When we come back, I've got a prize pack to give away. Stay tuned. Be back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
27 minutes past the hour, time for the WSB McDonald's weekend prize pack. The prize value is $108. Pretty cool. Includes a pair of tickets to the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra's Delta Classical Series featuring John Adams of Flowering Tree June 7th at Atlanta Symphony Hall, and a Kroger's $50 gift card. We're going to give it away to the fifth caller. Call the prize pack line now, 404-741-0750, 404-741-0750. And good luck, and be nice to Fred, because he's the one who's going to answer your calls. And whatever you do, do not forget to pick up today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution for a special report that looks at the real price sports fans may pay for a new downtown stadium. Shockingly high. Shockingly high. We also have latest news, weather, and traffic coming up at the bottom of the hour. It is 28 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glenk. You're listening to The Elise Glenk Show on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glenk Show. I'm live here on Sunday mornings, 11 to 1 on News Talk WSB. So glad you could join us this Memorial Day weekend. I don't know what kind of plans you have. As I said last hour, we're very excited. It's Michael, my younger son, Michael. He's in eighth grade, graduating next week. And he is performing in his final public concert. They do a little public concert with his instrument for the Memorial Day parade. And like all 14-year-old boys, Michael just wants to sleep in. And unfortunately, he has to get up at 8:30 tomorrow morning, and he's not happy about it. Not at all. But we're his parents, and by golly, we've been paying for that instrument for 4 years. We're going to see him perform it one last time. 404-872-0750. I hope you have equally fun plans for this Memorial Day weekend, and take some time out to thank those of you who are serving in our armed forces and those of you whose family members or friends have given their lives and made the ultimate sacrifice for this great nation. Thank you so much for your service. 37 minutes past the hour. You can still hear my cold. 3 weeks and 2 days and counting, folks. I just went downstairs to make myself a cup of tea and honey. Just still trying to push through this thing. 404-872-0750. Daniel joins us on the line from Michigan. Hey, Daniel, welcome to the Elise Glenk Show.
Yes, thank you, Elise, for taking my call.
Happy to. How can I help today?
Well, I'm trying to cut to the chase and get rid of a lot of detail that you wouldn't be interested in. Bottom line is, I bought a condo back in 2003, paid $370,000 for it.
Okay.
It has an assessed market
state?
Value.
And what state? Is it in Michigan that you bought this, or in Atlanta?
Yes, in Michigan.
In Michigan. What town?
A little town of Clarkston.
Okay. Where is that near?
That is near about 30 miles north of Detroit, about halfway between Flint and Detroit.
Flint and Detroit, okay.
Right off I-75.
All right, so you bought this condo. That's a lot of money for a condo. Is this sort
yes,
of a
they were pretty nice condos.
Yeah.
And I checked the prices of what comp sales were doing back then, and I felt that it was the right price to pay.
And what is the price that they're selling for now?
Well, the model I have is a ranch. There's others. There's one two doors down from me that just sold for $200,000.
Wow.
But again, that house compared to this one, when they were built and sold, was about $100,000. This one was like $100,000 more than these other models that have been sold.
So you could reasonably say that that model would have sold originally for $207,000, and now it's about $200,000. So you missed the run-up. Is what you're saying is you bought this before the real huge run-up in prices?
Yes, I bought it pretty much at the top.
You bought at the top.
Yep. Well, anyway.
That's pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah, the question I have is I still owe about $240,000 on it.
Okay.
And let's go into the assumption that I could get $200,000 for this.
Okay.
That's a $40,000 shortage.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have $40,000? Pardon me?
Do you have the $40,000 in cash?
Yes.
Okay. And what is your question? Are you ready to sell? Are you ready to move on? Or is this sort of a hypothetical, Daniel, just sort of saying, what if? This is a what if.
Well, number one, I'm 77 years old.
You don't sound anywhere near 77.
Well,
so good
I am
for you.
77. Right. And the thing is, you know, how many years have I got left? I don't want to leave this to my children with a deficit on it of $40,000 to $50,000.
Why would you not want to leave it to them with the deficit? Because it'll just come right out of the same account you're giving them anyway. If you somehow...
Well, that's true. That's true. But they live out of state, and neither one of them would have any interest in living with it.
All right.
I guess my question, is there any way that I can just continue paying on my mortgage if I die tomorrow or 5 years from now or 10 years from now? Maybe the prices will heal themselves.
Well, I definitely think prices will go up. And in Michigan, actually, and the reason I asked where you live, it sounds like you're in a suburb of Detroit.
Yes.
There are some suburbs around Detroit and in the state of Michigan which are starting to turn around. Now, when you get down to the place where you're just giving houses away and raising whole vast tracts of them in a city because you don't know what else to do with them and they're never coming back, that's one way to get rid of housing stock that could be competitive with the rest of the homes in the area.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm trying to get to what your real issue here,
Daniel.
My real question
is that what is the risk or what recourse would the bank have if I pass away and I still owe $40,000?
Well, so that's a great question because everybody wants to know what's going to happen the day after their funeral.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what happens is if you have an estate... Right, you've got money, you've got cash.
Well, I have an estate of which 80% of it is in an IRA, 401k.
Okay, well, that'll get distributed directly to the beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got a checking account, if you've got a car that could be sold, you've got furniture in the house, you've buried $800,000 in cash in the mattress. Maybe you collect little figurines and suddenly your kids go to one of those auction TV shows on channel, you know, PBS station. They're like, oh, they're worth $500,000. Whatever it is that you have that makes up that part of your estate, your debts will be brought forth to be settled against the assets in your estate. So when you're dead, you're going to have a pile of leftover cash and stuff and cars and artwork and furniture and
let's just say it's $100,000.
Okay, and you owe $40,000, no credit card debt, no other debts, you owe $40,000
right,
in your mortgage.
Right,
the mortgage company is going to look to your estate to pay that off. They're going to sell the property, and there's going to be a $40,000 overhang, and your estate is going to have to settle it. If you were destitute, then that would go away.
Difference, right.
But then your kids will get nothing anyway. So it's the same pot of money. I'm trying to get you to see it doesn't really matter. The question I have for you is, Daniel, where do you want to live the rest of your life?
Right here.
So then don't worry about it because, you know, the odds are you sound like you're in good health. Hopefully you are. Hopefully you're going to be around for another 10 or 15 years. And it's unlikely in 10 or 15 years, because you're going to continue to pay down your mortgage, property prices in 10 or 15 years will have stabilized and started to rise. And somewhere along the way, it's going to be break even or better in your favor. And your kids are going to be fine. And hopefully you're around to see it.
Well, I've received comments from an attorney and so forth that what I owe on this, if I should die tomorrow, the amount, it's not very likely they would sue my estate for that deficiency.
For $40,000?
Yeah.
If they know you have it, I don't know why they wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why the attorney would say that. I'm not an attorney.
Okay,
I don't try to play one on TV, but I'm just trying to say that it doesn't really matter. You're going to, if you even live 5 or 7 more years, that number is going to reverse. So
it's going to shrink.
It's going to shrink. The equity is going to grow. The property prices are going to stabilize and come up. We're already at the worst of it.
Mm-hmm.
So is this keeping you up at night?
Well, it's not keeping me up. I would just like to get things in order,
right,
for my children. And again, the bulk of my estate or my assets is in that.
Which is really smart. Have you had this conversation with your kids yet?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and you said to them, look, the house is underwater, and this may happen, and you're going to have to deal with it when I die.
When it does happen, take the keys to the bank.
But that is only good advice if the property is still underwater at that time. What they
absolutely.
Right.
I'm looking at if something happens today or tomorrow or next year, and I can't see the values coming back that fast.
Right. I don't think they're going to come back that fast either, but in 5 or 7 years, you're going to probably be at a break-even because you'll have paid down $20,000-$30,000 more in the equity, and property prices may have come up, and they're just a couple of bucks difference, and you know, they'll sell the property and they'll have to bring a little cash to the table for the closing costs or the commissions or something. But the point is that nobody's going to be hurting for this. This might be another $10,000 or $15,000 out of your estate. And the executive of your estate, whoever you've chosen of your children or friends or attorney, that's the person who's going to sort of make things happen.
Well, I have a trust.
Yeah, but somebody has to be the trustee of the trust, and somebody's got to be
my son.
Okay, and somebody's got to be the executor of the estate for everything that's not inside the trust. So you just, you know, if you don't have a will, you probably do need a will for everything else that's kind of over outside of the trust. It sounds like you've been very organized, Daniel. I mean, you should be congratulated.
Well, I've been looking at what are the alternative options, and I've been looking at the short sale.
But you want to live in your house.
Well, I'd like to get rid of it on a short sale and go rent.
Oh, well, this is different than what you said 5 minutes ago.
Well, yes. I can live here. I've got a very good mortgage.
Daniel, where do you want to live? Where do you want to live the rest of your life? Do you want to live in a rental because you're worried about leaving this huge problem to your children, which is, I'm telling you, is not that big a deal? Or do you want to live in the house you've lived in all these years?
No, I've only lived here for 8 years.
Okay, but where do you want to live?
Any place.
Okay, well, when you figure out where you want to live, Daniel, give me a call back so we can have a conversation about it. Because what you're doing is you're so far over, you know, you're trying so hard to get an account for every possibility. And you must love your children so much because you don't want them to have a moment's, you know, worry about this. And you're trying to tie up all these loose ends, and I give you a huge amount of credit. As the daughter of a mother who has done virtually the same thing, I appreciate what you're trying to do. But you still have to think about where you want to be and how you want to live out the rest of your days on this planet. And then from there, you can start to decide, oh, I'm going to do a short sale. I'm going to hand the keys back to the bank. I'm going to do this or that. You can make decisions. All of the options are available to you. And I hope your children realize just how lucky they are to have you so thoughtful and caring about them. 404-872-0750. John joins us on the line from Marietta. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. What's going on in your world?
Hey, try to make this quick. I'm in a house for about 10 years, and I want to keep it, want to stay here. I completed a modification about 6 months ago.
A loan modification?
A loan modification with the same mortgage company.
Okay.
And they reduced the rate. It seemed to come out perfectly. After the modification was complete, they said, there's a slight backlog of your payments. Can you please wire us $3,600? My monthly payment's usually $900.
Okay.
I wired them $3,600. A month later, they wired it back, And I called up, and they said, it was an accident. We're sorry. But by the time I got to that point, and that's pretty much where I am now, they said, you need to send us $5,400, and it's either that or nothing. You can't send two payments. You can't send three.
I don't understand. You sent the amount they asked for, and they sent it back.
Yep, and they admitted it was an accident.
And what amount did they really mean to ask you for?
Well, that was correct at the time, but they said they made a accident in cashier's department. They didn't know where the money was supposed to go. But by the time we settled that, I was up to $5,400 in back due mortgage payments.
Well, weren't you still making the new payments?
No, they would return them.
This is the kind of story that breaks my heart, John, because it points to a complete failure and breakdown on the bank side.
And what they would also do is they would make a $900 payment. They would take half of it and put it to the
What bank is it?
SunTrust.
SunTrust. You know, what's interesting about this is I haven't had a lot of complaints about SunTrust. In all these years that we've been talking about it, SunTrust has generally not come up as being one of the really big, horrible customers, no service banks. So I assume you've tried to escalate this all the way to the top of SunTrust, which is based in Atlanta, right?
Well, they really don't let me escalate it.
You have to go around them. You can't escalate from the bottom up, which is what you're trying to do. You have to literally go to the headquarters of SunTrust, and you have to get the name of, like, the director of operations. You've heard Clark and me say this forever. This is regular customer service. And I will also give you something else that you can do. But you really want to get to the head of operations because they have no idea this stuff is happening down there.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to know about it. So you need to go to the corporate website, get the name of the director of operations, the COO, right, and the office of the CEO, and you can send them a letter. Make sure that somebody has to sign for it. You can do it at FedEx. You can drop it off. Actually, I wouldn't drop it off because that just causes other problems. But you know where their headquarter building is. And what I would do is get on the and you can even call them and say, look, I'm having this problem. You did my loan mod. I'm really happy. Thank you. Now can you fix this part for me? Because at the low end, 20 levels below you, they don't get it. While you're doing that, I also want you to go to the OCC's website, helpwithmybank.gov. helpwithmybank.gov. You can file a complaint, case number, and say urgent house in danger of foreclosure, which may or may not be quite true. But you don't know. If they say you're $5,400 behind, you're $5,400 behind.
No, when I talk to them on the phone, they say that's going to happen to you.
You will go into foreclosure.
They're saying that if I don't send them $5,400 right now, ASAP, I'm going to be foreclosed on.
So what happened to this $3,600 plus the last 2 months that you've had?
But, you know, it's actually a fair amount of money to me. And by the time I realized that they wired it back, critical expenses. Yep.
Okay.
And now $5,400 is a lot of money to me.
I understand. It's a lot of money to most people, John. You're not alone. Go file a complaint with the OCC. You can send me at elise@thinklink.com. Go to my website. Once you get your file number, your case number, send it to me, and I will forward it to somebody I know at the OCC to make sure it gets looked at. And then I also want you to make sure that you send a letter detailing what's happened. Don't be angry. Just sort of detail what's happened to the COO of SunTrust. And if there is somebody from the Public Relations Department of SunTrust who's listening today, you may reach out to me also at the website. And then I also want to direct you to Twitter, where SunTrust does, I believe, have a live Twitter feed, and somebody is watching that all the time, and ask for help there as well. Sometimes you can cut through the traffic in customer service to get help there. And let me know next weekend what happens. 404-872-0750, 52 minutes past the hour. Back in a moment. News Talk WSB.
Expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
57 minutes past the hour, so our time is up, which is very sad. There's so many more things to talk about, more questions to answer. But, you know, you can reach out to me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. You can also find me on my website all the time, thinklink.com. And, you know, if you've missed part of this show, or you missed last week, or you're going to miss next week, we always podcast these shows, guys. You can go to iTunes.com, download the last 6 years of shows. There's always more Glink. So if you're thinking Glink, that's where you want to be. Thanks so much for joining us today. My thanks to Fred and Crystal for an awesome show. Stay in touch. Go to the Equifax Finance blog. Click away. Go to Money Watch. Take a look at what we're doing there. Really good information. Following the news on real estate. And then, of course, thinklink.com, where you can sign up for the free weekly newsletter. Don't forget the ebooks on Amazon. It's all good, folks. Great information about real estate. I hope you have a happy Memorial Day. Don't forget the barbecued salami. And I will talk to you again next Sunday. Thanks for joining me.
Ain't got no time to